Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I'm looking forward to the meetings this morning. The thing, one, from a legal background, I always want to go to from a health and safety standpoint. And so it'll be interesting to see the presentations and the communication, you know, this morning. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we keep our players healthy and safe. So that's the other thing. This is one of the incredible, awesome days to go in there and see that amalgamation of general managers and coaches and owners and hear the conversations and then see it come to life.
Right.
And so it just truly is, a blessing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Kevin Warren. He is talking there to our guy Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. And
just two lawyers talking.
We will talk to Mike eventually, probably tomorrow.
Later this week, maybe tomorrow. Yeah.
And we do every week. I love Mike. And you're right. That's a couple of lawyers chewing over what ends up being kind of rule changes. The Bears, you hear it right there, their concern is for player safety.
Well, it sounds like that he referenced player safety. The Bears, I don't believe, are on the record where they stand on the tush-push legislation.
But we know.
They are going to, or yesterday when they had the meeting, the Bears are opposed to it. The Bears would like to ban it. The Bears are not big believers in the tush push or the lakeshore dive. They do not want to bring it to Chicago.
I can we talk about that for just
one second? Need to talk about that because it was 16-16 right down the middle, Mully. So they tabled it till next month?
Yes.
Or till May?
Next month.
Okay. So where is this headed, do you believe? Because look, all of this stuff that they're talking about, we got into it with Biggie yesterday. To me, it's a football play, and we're lacking evidence to show me the concerns that Kevin Warren expressed, that I know that George McCaskey has, and the Packers have said, where's the evidence that this is harmful to players' health?
Yeah, I think that the missing, if you want to get this thing run out of the league, half the league thinks it's okay and half the league doesn't. You need 24 positive votes to get rid of it.
24 out of 32.
You need 24 yes ban it's, as opposed to 24 no. Not really. You got to have the 24.
You got to have 24 that feel like it's a big enough problem.
Right. That you ban it. That's all it is. And I think when I look at it personally, I think you're right. I think I need some data. Tell me some people that have been impacted by, if it is creating concussions. I thought, like, Chris Jones in the Super Bowl, didn't he kind of lay his body on the ground and it seemed like he got dinged up a little? He just kind of, I don't know that you can just lay your body down.
Is that going to be less likely to happen on 4th-and-1 if they hand the ball to the biggest running back they have and he's going in a head-on collision with Chris Jones in the hole?
I think, David, that the only way to prevent it is to do what Washington tried to do, which is just try to time up a dive so that you meet the running back.
Make a mockery of the snap.
That's what you got to do.
And that would muddy up most games, and I don't like that.
I did not like watching that, but I think what they were trying to do is just time up when he hits him. But the problem is, when you are the defense, it's half the distance to the goal line. So, that's not really a penalty. That's costing us a half inch. Let's do it again. It's crazy. And that's how someone could get hurt. So I think the problem I have with it, the only problem I have, is that you don't need, I think with a guy like the Eagles quarterback. You don't need a push. He can handle the push. Everybody
well,
just
he provides
get low.
The push with his extraordinary
strength,
his legs, and his extraordinary strength.
You know, I don't want to see Caleb Williams doing that. I don't think that's what his strengths are as a player.
But
I don't think you're
but that's,
ever.
That's
gonna,
the beauty of football because you don't have to ask, and you never would ask Caleb Williams to do that because you would have to find other ways to get the same job done.
There are quarterbacks that can do it. And no one can do it better than the Eagles do it. But like, if I had a quarterback like in Arizona, I would never try that.
How about Justin Fields? He'd be perfect.
Justin Fields could be like a
he could be a running back.
Well,
I always said he was the Bears' best running back.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, I would imagine you would have so many plays that would come off that thing where Fields could. You could look like you're doing
that's
this.
That's the football part of it.
Get him outside.
That's why I maintain it's not a rugby play. It's a football play because you know why?
I agree with you.
You have other options beyond just the sneak portion.
But my point is simply, okay, you can't push him, but you can still do that play. I don't think he needs the push.
The push.
Because he's the guy doing it.
If you want to get in the weeds and you want to say that he can't be propelled from behind and those kinds of things are enforceable. All right, do that. But just to say that you can't line up that way.
No, I don't like
it. It seems like a knee-jerk reaction.
Well, it seems like, you know, they've come up with something they do better than everyone else. And so we can't do it. Let's vote against
it. And they won the Super Bowl. So now everybody feels like that is necessary.
It got them to a Super Bowl and then they won the Super Bowl.
Well, some people believe that they would not have won the Super Bowl without the tush push.
Yes.
Do you believe that? I think it helped them win the Super Bowl.
I think it's a
team with Saquon Barkley in the backfield.
I think they won the Super Bowl at the line of scrimmage. They won the Super Bowl both on the defensive line where they were harassing the heck out of maybe the best player in football in Patrick Mahomes. But they also, you're right. You know, when a guy takes the ball and rolls out and then runs 100 yards. I mean, and that's the thing that Fields can do.
Right.
I'm very curious to see how the Jets look this year.
Yeah.
Because I like Glenn as a defensive guy. I think their defense will be better. And they've got another running back. So they're going to be, I would imagine, a kind of running team. It's going to be curious to see how they do.
219, David, do you think it could be something that can't show data? Perhaps a player knows their only way to leverage the offensive line is to lower your head, exposing the neck.
Yes, yes.
In that instance, a defensive lineman can be making the smart health decision by avoiding the data showing injury.
But that has nothing to do with a tush push. That's line of scrimmage battles in short yardage. That's what I'm saying, is you can't confuse what they do up front with anything. The quarterback creates this, you know, it's almost like a Roman legion, and everyone puts they're doing like a phalanx. Everyone's putting their helmet up, and here they come. Like, how do you stop that?
If you ever been at a concert or a game and in a crowd, when you need to just move forward, you're propelled by the momentum of the crowd around you just to get out of whatever mosh pit you're in.
That is a scary thing.
It's a scary thing.
It is a scary thing.
I don't think that Jalen Hurts was ever scared.
You're like,
but that's the
near
same,
the mosh
dynamic,
pit, and all of a sudden you're moved over 10 feet. Yeah, you're right.
But I feel like that's part of football. It'll evolve, and it will be lesser. It'll be a lesser issue in time. I just think it's an overreaction.
Yes.
To a quirky play that one team has perfected,
and nobody can figure out how to stop it. So they've got that advantage that they can keep doing it on all different places on the field. You know, it's interesting. I do not believe that they should ban that play.
I don't either. I think the Bears believe they should ban that play.
Well, I think.
And the Packers are at the front of the pack. So basically the Bears are agreeing with the Packers.
Didn't we hear something about the Bears that you know, somebody talked specifically?
Well, I think that they are, you know, George McCaskey's talking later today. Kevin Warren is talking later this morning. I wonder if they will be asked. I hope they will. Dan Weider, we're going to speak to at 9:25. Direct question to George McCaskey. Did you speak on behalf of your organization in opposition to the tush push? Did you want it banned, and why?
That's a great question. because they do.
It should be hard for him to answer, because if he feels as strongly about it as we are led to believe that he does,
yes,
then he should be out front and leading the charge.
If he believes this is a player safety issue, say it.
Say it.
There's nothing wrong with saying it.
It's a worthy debate. It's not something to dismiss, and I'm not dismissing it. If you have 16 teams that are in favor of keeping it and 16 teams in favor of banning it, you have a good discussion point. So this is where we start. Let's see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There were a lot of different rule changes.
Yeah, there are a couple others.
The chain gang, you know.
Oh, I like that.
Your beloved chain gang,
yeah,
will still be out there.
It can.
We'll still be pretending to be measuring stuff, but it's all going to be done.
Except for now they're going to wave to the camera.
By the Hawkeye system.
They're going to wave to the cameras when they go out to the field.
I think it's hilarious that they're going to keep them there in the uniforms.
Good.
And then run out and put the ball down where they tell them to put the ball.
Yeah, they'll do exactly what they're told to do. And they'll be on the sidelines, but nobody seems to be worried about their safety.
No, it's a ceremonial job.
It is.
If you get hit and break a leg on the sideline.
Thank you.
You know.
There's more. I think.
I agree.
To me, there would be more danger involved for the poor guy who's spending his retirement on Sundays holding the chain gang together than there is a quarterback trying to, or a lineman trying to stop the tush push.
When I was coming up as a sports writer, I was doing a lot of high school games. I'm talking about when I was in college, I would go out, cover a game, and then you'd have to have all the statistics and everything. And what I would do is I would walk with the chain gang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way you know exactly. That's
you cover high school game, that's everyone does that.
But yep. I'm telling you, if anybody does that, you understand how violent football is. I'm talking about high school games. People are hitting. There is like incredible, injuries to people on the sideline in the chain gang. So I've seen complete blowups as bodies are. These kids are, and I, you just think about that's high school. What happens in college? And then take a look at an NFL team. Take a look at the players. Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious.
I mean,
you are in harm's way.
You're in. The game is not safe for
it's
players.
Not safe. No.
Okay? It's not.
They're protected.
And they're trying to stop different things like, we got rid of the wedge and all that
they're
stuff.
They're wearing padding.
And they're wearing pads now.
The chain gang guys are wearing,
exactly.
A sweater and a vest.
But I'm still saying, if you're on the fourth down at the goal line, what else are you going to do but try to run over the guy in front of you? That's football. And you can't get the line of scrimmage out of the game.
No, you can't.
So that's a problem.
So trying to make it more exciting than other rules change, the owners approved a significant change to the kickoff structure. Now touchbacks will be at the 35-yard line, so there'll be an increase, theoretically,
yes,
in the return rate. Teams won't want to do that, so I think...
Should the Bears... Draft a kicker.
Draft a kicker?
Someone who is like a kickoff specialist that can put the ball exactly in that
No, don't start that. No, don't start that.
I'm doing this specifically because you don't like the kicker.
Well, you started this last year with the punter, and I kind of came around to it.
I'm joking about the kicker.
Okay, good.
I'm not serious about
that. Why do you hate Cairo Santos anyway?
You're the one that said that he needed more distance and you got upset because he missed like a 65-yarder or something.
He did. He doesn't have a booming leg.
It was absurd.
Does he have a booming leg?
No.
Only against the Packers.
Yeah, he could beat them.
The second time, not the first time. My bad.
But he ended the season strong, so I have to believe in him now.
David wants a left-footed power kicker that can come off the bench.
I wouldn't spend a draft pick on him, but I would consider a kickoff specialist. That's a luxury the Bears cannot afford. I wonder what this will mean, though, the 35-yard line, and will it create more excitement in a play that used to be one of the more exciting plays in football?
35 is pretty good field position. If you think it used to be the 20, now you're at the 35. You're basically breathing on midfield, and all of a sudden that it is a way of getting more scoring.
So theoretically, what's going to happen is teams won't be kicking for the touchback. They'll be kicking for the return. They'll be kicking short of the end zone.
Yes.
So they're
yes.
creating the return.
Yes.
And that, to me, is more a strategic thing. It'll be more
yes.
Directional.
They took the kickoff out of the game with the rule changes. They really did.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to bring it back.
They de-hesterized it.
They did. De-hesterized.
Yeah, that's what they did. They de-hesterized football, and they made it boring so you could go get your concessions or whatever you want during kickoffs. And now they're going to hopefully restore a little bit of excitement to one of the most exciting plays in the game.
312-644-6767. Let's try Tony. Tony is has got he's in Wonder Lake, and he's upset about the I don't know. Are you upset?
Hey, Tony.
What's your thought, Tony?
No, I'm not really upset about it. It's just, you know, let's take the halfback option. There's 15 different variations of that play on yep. probably one team. It's a quarterback sneak at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Just because you have the athletes to facilitate what's considered a tush push, it's just a quarterback sneak.
Yes.
It's an invaluable part of the game. If you're in a situation late in the game where you need a half a yard and you happen to have a quarterback skilled enough and who has enough balls to actually want to throw his head into 10,000 pounds of weight, well, then you know what? It's just a part of the game. Figure out a way to stop it or come up with your own big guys up front so you can create some sort of a tush push.
Right.
It's a ridiculous rule. There's no injuries that have been reported on the play, and that's their biggest thing, is it going to cause injury? Well, no, it won't, because it's low impact. When you consider the other plays, it's like a car collision. This is an up-close, immediate, you know, hit where there's not as much force as, let's say, an open-field play.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. It's a good point.
It's a good point, and I agree that there are a lot of variations that you could see out of the quarterback sneak element. It is basically a quarterback sneak. We have nicknamed it because it's been clever or it's been kind of funny or it just fits because it's less of a – it's not a handoff, and it's a little bit more of an orchestrated push, if you will. So it doesn't yet have any empirical evidence to support the idea that it's harmful or any more harmful than any other play.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. And that if they had that evidence –
be different.
But as the one caller told us, you know, the collisions themselves, with the texter, the collisions themselves may cause damage down the road. I'm not arguing
every
that.
Every subconcussive hit could.
But that's called professional football.
Welcome to the NFL.
We're having a different conversation. If you want to get rid of hitting, then okay, let's get rid of football. That's a totally different conversation than whether you should get rid of one play.
We'll get to the callers. I want to get your opinion, though, before we get to a break, though. The other rules change that I thought was very interesting. They passed a rule. Both teams can now touch the ball in overtime for a possession.
Right.
Which I think is good because it used to be if you score a touchdown on the first drive, you win the game. I like this, but what I don't like about it, were you surprised that they still didn't change the overtime length, the period to from 10 to 15 minutes?
See, it's 10 minutes. And you say they score, they go down, they grind it out. Now you get the ball back. You got 45 seconds left.
That's the thing.
You got to score a touchdown.
Why?
I think
if you're going to do one, you got to do the other.
Well, I think that what I do like about that is that you're limiting the length of the overtime because you let everybody touch the ball, but it's a battle against the clock now. And to me, like what you're trying to do is to avoid double overtime, triple overtime. You just don't want to have a game go on forever. You want to have it limited. So hopefully, I'm just saying.
I don't really like it.
I don't mind it because you do get a chance. Like it's not just a coin flip as to who wins the game. You get a chance to come back. But it also changes the strategy of how you want to go about scoring. And I mean,
well, you want to take your time,
but I mean, have a 10-minute drive and kick a field goal, and then you don't have to worry about anybody getting the ball.
That's the thing, though.
Yeah. They're not
what stipulations
touch the ball.
Exist for teams that somehow get a nine? Well, you're never going to probably get more than a 10-minute drive,
right?
I think if you looked in the NFL, there wouldn't be more than a 10-minute drive.
It's probably about an 8-minute drive if you really grind it out. But I mean, that's going to give somebody else. an opportunity.
I just think if you're going to give each team the ball,
to sign Aaron Rodgers and let him try to win at the end.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Here's Kyle Tucker, reached on a walk in the first. Righty-lefty matchup, Severino deals. Tucker swings, hits a high fly ball, deep right field. Forget about it! Long gone! Kyle Tucker has done it. For the first time in his career, he has hit a home run in four consecutive ball games. And the Cubs go up 4-2 here in the third.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Cubs win again. Another homer for Tucker. Things are going much better than when we worried about the bullpen, Mr. Davis.
I think so. Definitely. Yes. What bullpen? Yes. Kyle Tucker has arrived, and with an exclamation point, he is doing the kinds of things that you thought he was capable of doing, and it's so early in the season. But he's never homered in four straight games before.
And we asked the question this morning, and it was taken as mean-spirited, and it wasn't intended as such.
I think it
But we asked the question.
Create a little tension.
Are you concerned?
It created a little tension, not going to lie.
That this is eventually, like David says, he's a sucker for Tucker.
I did.
But what happens when you get kind of tuckered out at the end of the season?
I don't think I'm going to get tuckered out.
He's only here. No, he's Tucker out. I'm saying he's not here forever.
No, don't start that. No.
We don't want to speak of that.
No, it's too early.
It's too early to worry about that.
It's April 2nd. Yes. It's April 2nd, and he is off to as good of a start as he's been off to in his major league career. He's comfortable, clearly, in a Cub uniform. He would be...
How about this?
Very, very expensive to keep.
Yes, but you keep the money just from the beer bat. You take that money, and then at the end of the year, you like buy him something.
Kind of the Tucker
this
fund?
This is from the fans.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd sell a lot of beer that way. And I can tell you from experience, those beer bats aren't cheap.
Brandon is the only guy I know who had one.
He had one, but I've bought a couple out there.
You've had a beer bat?
Yes.
You never told me that.
I did tell you that.
No.
You forget.
You're
I went out there.
Hiding that information.
The day that I... had the hot dog and showed you guys.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was actually capable of eating a hot dog at Wrigley.
You were with your son?
And yes.
Yes,
I remember. If my son's involved, there typically would be a beer bat or beer involved. So, yes, okay. It was that night. But those are expensive. And whatever it takes all you want the Cubs to do is be at the table. I mean, you want them to keep him. You want him to be able to step up and be a team that's capable of signing a guy to a long-term contract. I know the price is going to be crazy by the end of the year.
Yeah, especially if he keeps hitting a home run every game.
But the season just started. Don't tell me I have to say goodbye already. Let's enjoy his presence before we start to plan his departure.
I was merely asking if you can afford to be emotionally involved knowing the limited time frame.
My answer is my answer.
Okay. And that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's okay to get caught up in it.
That's not a mean question. That's just, you know, looking into...
Maybe mean is overstating it.
The mirror of reality,
Don Quixote. You're tweaking.
Never.
You're kind of trying to tweak here.
No. Never happened.
First four games for Kyle Tucker, he was 2-for-16. Since then, he's 10-for-18. Oh, did I mention his OPS? 1.303.
And that's with a legitimate bat, not the new torpedo.
Who needs a torpedo bat when you're Kyle Tucker? Aaron Judge doesn't need it. Kyle Tucker doesn't need it either. But I have nothing against the torpedo bat. I think it's great.
I love the torpedo bat.
I love it.
Bat.
I love the fact that Dansby Swanson uses it. I love the fact that Nico Hoerner tries it. More torpedo bats, the better. More long balls, the better.
What's better, seriously, the beer bat or the torpedo bat? What is your preference?
What time is it?
Yeah, it depends on
the one I can hit 50 dingers with.
Yeah,
there you
that's
go.
Better.
That sounds good.
I don't know. Sometimes
that's
those
good.
Beer bats,
They come in handy.
You need to unwind.
Okay. You know? Are you guys at all surprised, though, that Kyle Tucker didn't hit four straight or home run in four straight games with the Astros?
A little bit.
I kind of am.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. It was a surprise to hear that he hadn't done that before, especially since he's done it so effortlessly.
Cubs needed that one last night, though. It was good. Justin Steele, still a little bit of a concern.
Yes.
Gave up two home runs.
I know.
He's not been sharp.
Stop that.
This is his third start already.
Yes.
And I don't think we've seen the best of Justin Steele just yet. And today we get Jameson Taillon, get his chance. He didn't look good the last time out either.
Say a novena.
I don't think you need to go that far.
Okay.
But you feel free to say a novena if you want. It's Lent. So I think that if you want to get, you know, say a novena, you're more than entitled. But we have Jameson Taillon and Jeffrey Springs, 2:35 first pitch, 2:00 pregame.
God bless
Zach.
The A's, right? I mean, isn't it nice to play the A's? Because the bats have come. What'd they score? How many runs they have in the first game?
Was 18.
Okay. That's pretty good.
They got seven last night.
By the way, the 18, the most ever scored in baseball history by in an opening of a ballpark. First game in a new ballpark.
That's a good little nugget.
Yeah.
That's a nice little 18. Tidbit. That's Didn't
a
I
lot.
Know that?
That's a lot.
You know.
Now you answer with how many they have yesterday?
Seven.
Okay. You got 25 runs in two games.
I think they need 12 more today.
That, you know, it sounds like that's the pace, right? They could do that.
Seiya Suzuki hit a 445-foot homer.
He hit a home run they can't even measure.
They can't.
It was a three-run shot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And we have maybe overlooked in all of our giddiness over the offense, Ryan Pressly, don't call me Stressly, Ryan Pressly had a scoreless ninth, first save. First save as a Cub.
You bet your Astros he did that.
I think that's good.
He's one of many.
Well, he needed that. He needed that, so we're not complaining about the bullpen.
So we're not complaining about Astro washouts coming to Wrigley. And listen, this is great. Win this game, win the series, and then get back to Wrigley and everybody will be happy. Friday, right?
I was also heartened to see, yes, you're right, the opener Friday is 4-4, and it's going to be the opener at Wrigley. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope the weather agrees and cooperates. Last night, though, another thing that was good to see from a Cub fan perspective, Justin Turner, 40 years old, here for a very specific purpose, to be a pinch hitter, to provide some depth and be a good clubhouse guy, came in off the bench, infield pulled in, boom, single up the middle. RBI in a tough spot. Good for Justin Turner to get off hit as a Cub.
Are you trying to prevent yourself from getting too emotionally involved with Justin Turner?
Yes. I'm prepared for his departure.
Okay.
Don't tell me to resist the Kyle Tucker love. Not after he's hit four homers in four games in a row.
I mean, can't we discuss life without making it like a mean-spirited conversation? I'm just saying.
Okay, maybe mean was overstated.
As you love seeing the homers, you have to know.
Let me see the way.
Cha-ching.
The question was worded this way. It was, is it time to start investing real emotion in the guy, or do you recommend Cub fans temper their emotion since every bomb brings him closer to a new deal the Cubs won't pay?
What? That was very dramatic.
That's dramatic.
David threw his.
That was a dramatic.
He
paper
threw
flip.
All the papers.
I mean, what if that's not mean spirited? What is it?
I think it's a legitimate question. Hey, are you gonna pay this guy or not?
No,
I need to know before I invest. I'm not buying you a T-shirt that says, you know, something about King Tut or whatever. I can't buy that for you until I know he's going to be here longer than 1 year.
I'll take a King Tuck T-shirt.
All right, I'll buy it.
I'll take a Sucker for Tucker T-shirt.
I'm not resisting the Tuckered Out T-shirt?
I'm not resisting that because the likelihood that he's one and done.
Okay, that's fair.
Do you think that Duke fans are rooting any less for Cooper Flagg because they know that he's on his way out just two more mere games?
Okay, that's a very good example because they're going to win, apparently, if they're
nice
playing too.
Dunk, Cooper.
Nice sneaking
Boy,
in
Cooper.
The fact that they're in the championship game.
Yes.
I think
way to go, Cooper.
That Duke fans are running around saying stuff like, oh, he loves playing here so much, he's not going to go pro. No one's going to go pro and take all the money that comes with it because it's Duke and we sleep here and, oh, we're welcome. Look at how much we've supported him. So your heart's about to be broken.
Yes, it is.
He's going to be the first overall pick, and he's going to get paid like it.
But let them love and lose.
It's a level.
Let them go. Yeah. Let them be.
Better to have loved than Molly. Lost. I know.
Yes, I've already been poetic this morning. I'm not going to go there again. You're just going to make me sappy.
I don't think it was a rude or unwarranted question or mean.
It's a fair question, it's going to be the one that lingers over every hot stretch for Kyle Tucker, and I don't like that backdrop, but I think it's reality you have to accept. Is it conceivable the Cubs could come up with the money to keep him? Is it conceivable that he will like playing in Wrigley Field enough to stay? Don't know. Too early to judge either thing definitively.
Fun to talk about.
Seriously, so
when the guy goes on a 4-home-run streak, we need to talk about him. And I thought that was a fair, well-worded question.
Your questions are always well-worded. Yeah. Especially when you throw in the fancy English major vocabulary. They're very well-worded.
You know, I mean, I was beaten by nuns. That's how I became
an English major.
Relatively, capable of communicating. You get hit enough when you make errors.
That'll do it. There's a long line of guys.
When I used to take the ruler, I mean, honestly, it was not as pleasant as you would think. All right, we got to get to a break. We're going to keep it going, though. I know some people want to check in. We'll get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We're going to, don't forget, we got Ozzie at 8. We're going to talk to Chelly. Will Venable, manager of the White
Looking
Sox,
forward to that 9
gonna
o'clock.
Join us at 9. Can't wait to talk to him. Yep. I feel like this is an opportunity to get smarter. He's going to share with us different information.
Now, that guy has
maybe
a vocabulary.
He'll tell us if Pitching Ninja is worth anything.
Ooh, we should talk about
that. Yeah, well, I'm sorry I brought that up.
Okay.
Let's talk about it next. We'll
All
talk
right,
about Pitching
will.
Ninja.
Okay, good.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Baseball Twitter, I mean, this has become a real popular thing. A lot of guys turn to it just to, you know, experiment and try new things with their pitches.
Pitching Ninja is a real thing. It's become very popular, but if that's how you want to find some info, go for it.
I think
it won't be my source.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah.
Uncomfortable moment.
It was a bad moment.
Bad moment. John Schriffen was responding to Brooke Fletcher's report.
First of all,
tidbit about the Pitching Ninja.
You know, it's a good tidbit, and I think she does a great job. Seriously.
She's been a terrific addition to those broadcasts.
The broadcast is better. And he immediately kind of shoots her down. Like, I'm just saying, if I'm working with someone, you know, and I'm not saying. Yeah, they didn't talk about it that long, but I think what she says to you is something worth listening to. There are pitchers that go and are looking at that.
Yeah,
and
she's
not
right.
My place. I go, but
she's right. She knows the game very well.
Yes.
I know I'm a little biased, but I do because I work with her. But she does objectively a tremendous job doing that, playing that role. And I feel like the Pitching Ninja is kind of like a commonly accepted source of information in baseball.
They show you. Guys throwing pitches and how they break and what they do.
Yeah.
It took no time at all. Shane Smith is there like immediately because he's got a 97-mile-per-hour fastball and a 92-mile-an-hour changeup. And there's when you look at it, the way they show it, it's like extraordinary because the ball is breaking. I don't know how you hit that.
Do you learn things from watching the Pitching Ninja?
It's been very definitely.
And again, it was a surprise because it was such a contrary reaction or opinion to something that I thought was commonly accepted as being good for the sport, good for the game. And then 10 minutes after that was posted, that exchange was posted on X.
Yeah. So Pitching Ninja posted that exchange.
Yes, and it basically said appreciated it. Rob Friedman said, appreciate it, LOL. And then 10 minutes after that, Brian Bannister, the director of pitching for the Chicago White Sox, who's a guest on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday, well-respected and impactful already in his job, to post this, at Pitching Ninja. Keep up the great work, Rob. Our sport needs more people that celebrate the awesomeness of what these guys can do. You're one of the best things that ever happened to baseball.
and then there are three, like, bicep muscle emojis.
Wow, yeah.
Not one and not two. You get three of those babies. So,
it's a little exchange.
Strong.
It's impossible to ignore that when it happens. Yeah. It was a strong response. Brian Bannister is as respected as anybody who works at 35th and Shields.
Look what he's done with this group of pitchers so far.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah,
the starting pitching
is interesting.
Is record-setting.
And it's certainly the Sox first spin through the rotation shows that it indicates that there's some progress being made.
No question.
Burke back on the mound today if the weather is cooperative, and we hope that it is, because I want to see his second start. I want to see all these guys back on the mound. I want to see what they have in this pitching that has been a revelation so far. Small sample size, we get it. Nobody's getting carried away. But what you see early is very encouraging.
They've yet to win a series, Mr. David. So they have won a game in each series. They won the first game of this series. You got to finish it today.
Finish it today.
You really should.
Get the Twins while they're down.
Get Sean Burke going.
And
I mean, I
want to
see him
going. Get the bullpen going.
I'm saying I want to see that magic run support, guys. Run support.
And get some hitting.
That's right.
Generate some offense.
Bring up Kyle Teal. That's how you generate offense.
How about the Maton last night?
Lead off
home run. Second home run in five games this season.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much he would contribute. I'm not sure many people knew who he was.
Well, I was going to say, that's a Google guy. That's a guy who you see do something, you immediately want a backstory. You want to look him up.
Yeah, well, you did want to look him up because, like, where did he come from? Oh, this is his fifth team? Oh, okay.
There you go.
So he's maybe finding rhythm, getting a chance, taking advantage. That's what this season is for so many people in that clubhouse. Getting an opportunity and hoping that they can seize it, because this is where you want to do that. You're going to have...
The opportunity is available to you. It's incredible that Shane Smith is a Rule 5 guy and he comes out with that kind of performance following all the other strong performances from the starting rotation. I think we know by whatever it is, the second week of the season, barely... We know what their strength is.
Mm-hmm.
Their strength is their starting pitching. And it's better than I think anybody imagined.
Do you feel like you knew
be.
That in spring training? I don't think I did.
Well, I think a lot of their stuff wasn't breaking. Well, you talked to Bannister. What did he say about it?
He talked about not worrying so much about Jonathan Cannon specifically.
Yes.
Because once you go from Arizona to Chicago, you can see things. His first bullpen was a good indicator that the ball would be breaking differently.
Yep.
And there wasn't a high level of concern. And when he spoke on Saturday, frankly, I thought it sounded a little bit overly optimistic. But you know what? The first spin through the rotation, I can see what they see. I can see why they would be encouraged and believe that the strength of this team is in their starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been... I don't know how you're not impressed by it. The first time round, all five guys, you know, no earned runs in five innings. It's incredible.
It's something that is easy to be impressed by.
Yeah.
It's something that is worthy of the Pitching Ninja.
It is. And it's something that we should thank the White Sox resident baseball expert. I think that's exactly what he is. There's somebody who's really good at what he is doing, and it would appear to be Brian Bannister.
Yeah, it is. It is very similar. He's been compared to having an impact like Craig Breslow with the Cubs.
Yes.
Was very impactful in that role, went on to become a general manager with the Red Sox now.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder, and maybe even worry a little bit, Brian Bannister's impact, if it becomes so obvious on this organization, just stay for a while.
I totally agree with
you. But he's here because he likes the organization. His dad was a pitcher for the White Sox back in the day, and I think that Brian Bannister's impact here has been pretty obvious so far.
Yeah, it's been great, and I think we're seeing it every day. All right, we'll be right back. We've got Ozzie Guillen. We can talk to him about what he's seeing from this team thus far, clearly better than a year ago, and how. How is that showing up? Is it the manager? Is it the pitching ninja? What is it? We'll discuss with Ozzie next. Mullion Hall on the Score.